Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Welcome to the program. We've got Dave Landau coming up. Always a lot of fun, but we're going to start by doing the government shutdown of 2025. Yes, it's here. It's exciting. I think we're all pumped up about it. Look, main thing for me was able to win my investment on the prediction markets about the shutdown, because it just seemed like there was nowhere for either one of these sides to go. The Republicans didn't want to give in, obviously. Why would they? And the Democrats have been pushed into this corner by their far left plank to make them do this. And they decided they had to go ahead with it. Let's see where this goes. Shutdown enters its first day with no hint either side will give. The shutdown became all but inevitable on Tuesday night after Senate Democrats voted just hours before a midnight deadline to block Republicans' plan to keep federal funding flowing. In back-to-back Senate votes that reflected how acrimonious the funding dispute has become, each party blocked the other's stopgap spending proposal, just as they had earlier in the month. And that was one of the reasons why I felt like this was definitely coming, because even if they pass those, well, the House was going to need to approve it, unless they did vote on this at one point, a very specific, the exact same plan as the House. Well, when you try to advance it and come up with a new idea at the last minute, well, that would have to go back to the House. So what are you going to do? A 55-45 vote GOP plan, which would extend funding through November 21st, fell short of the 60 needed for passage. Republicans also blocked Democrats' plan, which would extend funding through the end of October. So, you know, only a month. And add more than $1 trillion in healthcare spending. Obviously, not going to do that. It was 53-47. One of the interesting nuggets about all of this is the supposed reason why Democrats want this. I mean, the real reason is because AOC is whining about it. But the real reason they're doing the shutdown is because they is the AOC part. The fake reason why, the one they're telling everybody, is because, oh, healthcare. We really care about healthcare credits. What's fascinating is the healthcare credits they're talking about are currently active. They do end eventually. However, they will not end in the next 7 weeks, which is the entire length of the Republican plan. Now, so obviously it's got nothing to do with that. That's part one. Part two is, you know, I don't like the Republican plan either. The idea that we're just going to keep extending these horrible spending amounts into eternity, which is essentially what they want to do this time, just, you know, just in 7 or 2 week chunks or 2 month chunks or 6 month chunks or whatever. These are bad policies, and I don't want to just extend them. This is just where we are now. When you are in power, you just kind of extend things, and, you know, hopefully no one really rocks the boat too much. When you're out of power, you do things apparently like this. Three members of the Democratic caucus did buck Schumer on the government funding vote. And what's interesting about that is it's higher than they thought it was going to be. When we went into this, we did know John Fetterman was going to vote with the Republicans on this. We also knew that Rand Paul, who, you know, obviously is the guy in the Senate who's most concerned with out of control spending, we knew he was going to vote no on it. So we knew there was going to be, you know, one for one swap going in. What we got was a 3-for-1 swap. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada, a member of the Senate Democratic leadership team, joined John Fetterman, and Senator Angus King, Maine. He's an independent, actually, but he caucuses with Democrats, which is also what Bernie Sanders is. King's a little bit more sane than Bernie Sanders, but he is, and they're both basically Democrats. So they crossed over. That was actually a little bit of a surprise, and it shows the lines, which we're only talking about a few more people here that would need to get on board with this, because they got 55. They need 5 more Democrats. The lines are a little bit weaker than they thought as far as holding the line for the Democratic side. There's been a lot of response. Democratic and Republican lawmakers react to government shutdown as blame game ensues. Let me give you a quick taste of this. Chuck Schumer, it's midnight. The Republican shutdown has just begun because Republicans wouldn't protect America's health care. Okay, well, you didn't pass a law. Like, this is a totally different thing you're adding into it. And again, I'm fine with doing this. Like, I, first of all, as I've mentioned, the government at shutdown levels is much closer to the government size as it should be. And it's still too big, honestly, in my mind. So I don't really care about the government shutdown at all. Not going to affect my life at all. There are people who work for the government that it is legitimately going to affect their lives. And there's about another 70% of the population that they're going to tell you it's going to affect your life when it's not actually going to affect your life. But that being said, the blame game is on, right? Schumer, oh, it's midnight. It's threat level midnight. And they are going to, they're calling it the Republican shutdown. Well, Republicans are doing what the Republicans would typically do when they're out of power, which is just give in and continue the spending. They're just saying, they're not proposing something where they want to cut $1 trillion of healthcare spending. They're just saying, let's just continue this. Democrats are coming in and saying, hey, we want a bunch of new stuff that we know you don't want. Because essentially they just want the fight. We talked about this yesterday with Chris Bedford. They just want the fight because they need to show their base that they're doing something. We'll see if that happens. Hakeem Jeffries said Donald Trump and Republicans have now shut down the federal government. I mean, there's no way to frame it this way unless you're just insane. Cory Booker says we just went into a shutdown because Republicans refused to work with us. I mean, that was the closest to accurate. I don't know if he included tears of rage in that statement, which is a Cory Booker trademark. But that's closer. Yes, they're refusing to work with you. You want $1 trillion of extra stuff. They're saying no. That's, you know, yes, that's 100% true. But that's you asking for the $1 trillion of extra stuff. That's where the issue comes in. If it wasn't you asking for that, we would go forward in this unsustainable way with spending whatever we can. Nancy Pelosi, as bad as it gets, if Republicans force a shutdown, it's on them. Democrats will keep fighting to protect your health care. I'm fine. And Republicans have done this a bunch of times, and I'm usually fine with it. If you want to say, look, we're not voting for their funding thing. We're going to shut down the government because we believe these policy priorities are important enough. Okay? We want to get rid of Obamacare at the time. That was 2010 or 13. There's a couple in that. I think it was 2013 was the Obamacare shutdown. And, you know, Ted Cruz is out there saying, look, we want to shut this down because we want to prove that we want to get this out of here. And we want to make sure that people understand that it's really, really bad. It's OK to say that. But you're noting that you're the one taking the action. What Democrats are trying to do is saying it's them taking the action because we want to fight for your health care. Well, that's just not true. Now, it is true. And I said this before when Republicans shut things down. If the Democrats want to go along with the Republicans thing at that time, or if Republicans just want to give in and give them the $1 trillion of spending, we, of course, could end this. And if you really believed it was super crucial, maybe they would do it. At the end of the day, though, Republicans are kind of looking at this as an opportunity. Trump talked about this a little bit, saying, like, hey, you know, if they're going to shut this stuff down, we'll just start canceling stuff and you're going to have to pass a new law to get it back into effect. Let's try that on for size. Russ Vogt has been doing a bunch of that work behind the scenes and trying to plan for this. So it's hard to know where this is going. I think the longer it drags out, the less happy Democrats are going to be with the government when we come out of this. The question is, really, though, where do the politics fall? I will remind you, and I've said this several times, it is currently October of 2025. Now, this might very well affect the mayoral race in New York or the gubernatorial race in Virginia. But when we're talking about the midterms, this is going to be ancient history. And this is no one's going to remember this. Because we're going to have 15 other nuclear fires to put out by then. So that's where we are. By the way, if you thought some of the cutting might affect our immigration enforcement, no. ICE tweeted this. During a government shutdown, there is no change to U.S. immigration laws or border enforcement. Rumors that a U.S. government shutdown will allow illegal immigrants to enter the U.S. are false. U.S. immigration laws and enforcement efforts remain unchanged. Border security and enforcement efforts remain strict. And crossing the border without authorization remains a crime. Stock markets have gone down a little bit in this. Gold is going up. Gold has gone up now to, what is it, $3,900. Wednesday's decline put only a small dent in a bullish run for stocks. S&P 500 up about 14% for the year. The market has been propelled, in particular, by enthusiasm about the prospects for artificial intelligence. Really, you go look at this, by the way, I don't know, something like 80% of the increase in the stock market is just AI. You know, there's a lot of questions about what else is going on in our economy right now and the enthusiasm around AI. You know, I think there's a lot of positives, a lot of negatives when it comes to AI. But the economy, as far as its strength overall, you know, the AI thing better work. Let's put it that way, because or we could have some real issues coming up. Perhaps the sharpest signs of investor anxiety can be seen in the market of gold, which traders often turn to as a hedge against economic uncertainty. The precious metal has set a series of records in recent months, trading above $3,900 for the first time on Wednesday. The price of gold has risen about 50% this year. Bitcoin also up $117,000, something like that, nearing another all-time high. But I don't want to leave you without showing you a clip of Maxine Waters, because how else could I ruin your day? I was thinking about how can I make their lives miserable? Let me show them some Maxine Waters. This is a fun one, though. I think you'll appreciate it.
Do Democrats want to prioritize the health care of illegal aliens over a government shutdown? Because if the government does shut down, Americans are going to be furloughed.
Stop it right there. We're not prioritizing. What we're doing is saying simply we want to keep the government open and we want to work with the Republicans and have a bipartisan agreement to keep this government open, and health care is at the top of our agenda.
But aren't Democrats demanding health care for illegal aliens?
That's right.
Democrats are demanding health care for everybody.
Everybody.
We want to save lives. We want to make sure that health care is available to those who would die but having the help of their government.
So you're good with a government shutdown, even if it means giving health care to people who aren't American citizens?
Well, you keep, that's what you're pushing on. What you're trying to do is you're standing here and you're trying to make me say that somehow we're going to put non-citizens over Americans. Quit it. Stop it. This is the kind of journalism we don't need.
No, I'm just
asking. You're divisive.
Questions.
No, you're not.
Yeah, no,
you're being divisive. No, please, don't. You don't need to ask that question. You're just trying to get controversy here. You're not going to get it from me. We want to save health care for all people. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Appreciate it.
Sure you do. One of the things I love about this is a quick trip down memory lane for you. 2009, Barack Obama doing the State of the Union. Joe Wilson yells out, "You lie." Why did he do that? That was a big controversy at the time. You lie! And everyone's like, decorum, decorum! You're not supposed to say things when Barack Obama's talking. And the reason he said that is because Barack Obama was saying it would not, Obamacare money would not go to illegal immigrants. You lie. That was so controversial. They're not going to do that. That's not in the bill. How dare you? This is a lie, a lie, a lie by Joe Wilson. Okay, so that's 2009. 2016, Hillary Clinton running for president on her campaign website. It says quite clearly, we will give Obamacare, we will extend it to all people, even non-citizens. So 2016 becomes part of the Democratic platform. And then today, as you saw right there, they're now going to shut down the government over giving your money to illegal immigrants for their health care. So it goes from you lie in a decade and a half. It's now obvious, of course. How could you possibly oppose it? Why do you want to shut down the government over something as wonderful as this? The questions never stop. I've got some questions for Dave Landau as well. He's going to join me next. There are moments in life when everything depends on preparation. If it doesn't depend on panic or luck, well, it's probably good. Preparation is what you need, and that's why Jace Medical exists. They offer emergency use antibiotics and prescription medications that you can keep on hand. So, you know, if the supply chain collapses or if your pharmacy is closed or if you're traveling overseas, you are going to be covered no matter what. And you don't have to be, you know, stuck in a pharmacy trying to look for a medicine that isn't there during a crisis. You don't even need to scramble out when time is getting late. I will say this has happened to me on vacation, needing medicine for my kid, having to drive a while to get to a 24-hour pharmacy because there's nothing open near where we were. He needed it right at that moment. And, you know, you just have to deal with it. Not with Jace Medical, because you have the medications you need. Jace connects you with licensed professionals who evaluate your needs and prescribe what makes sense before there's an emergency. They deliver a full supply of antibiotics or daily medications right to your door. They even include a guidebook so that you know how to use each medication and when to use it. In a world that can change overnight, you don't want to be the person hoping things go back to normal. You want to be ready, and you want to be ready with Jace Medical. Jace.com, promo code STU. Jace.com, promo code STU. Get that checkout discount when you put the code STU in at jase.com, promo code STU.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Joined now by Dave Landau, comedian, host of Normal World right here on Blaze TV. He's also the author of Party of One, which you can pick up wherever you get your books. And some big dates for stand-up comedy coming up. Boca Raton this weekend. Be sure to catch Dave at the Sad Man Comedy Club. It's a great name. On Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, you're in Nashville at Zanies?
Yes, it's Sunday, yep.
Very cool. So join Dave if you happen to be around. Get your tickets at DaveLandau.com. Dave, it's been a few weeks. How are you, man?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Good. I mean, the last few weeks have not been so great.
It's been a little dark.
Yeah, a little dark. You sent a very nice text to me, by the way, over while all that was going on. And I feel like, you know, there's this annoying thing that human beings do, which is like take these tragedies that actually are about other people and just internalize them and make them about themselves. So let's do that for a moment.
Yes, let's do it.
Because, I mean, it is, there's a scary time. You're out there, you're an outspoken person.
Yes.
Everybody here at The Blaze is running their mouth about one thing or another. I think people in this world maybe took it even more internally than people in the rest of the country. But I can't believe the outpouring. I mean, people who I didn't think watched Charlie Kirk videos were really crushed by this. I mean, the reaction has been amazing.
No, the sheer number of people that you were at in Arizona, but yep. Just the sheer number of people that showed up to that shows the effect that he actually had on people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And yeah, the one text I sent you, I think the only thing I really posted about it too was that Glenn gave him Rush Limbaugh's microphone.
Yeah, he brought it in. That was a pretty. Tough thing to get through. I was sitting, of course, right next to him, luckily out of the shot.
Right.
At that area. Because I'm just like, you know, my tears are coming down my face. I already look terrible on television anyway. And then adding on.
Feeling.
Yeah. Adding on the fact that, you know, everyone in conservative media was a slobbering mess for a while. But then you saw the reaction from the left, which was celebration. I mean, there was a few exceptions to it, but it was pretty awful.
It's so weird to say because I do expect, like, if somebody dies, not everybody's going to care. That's the sad part.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of actually ripping down memorials, hurting people, making more threats, the idea that we're even going, like, people are even mentioning civil war, stuff like that, it gets real dark, and I don't understand why it has that effect on another side, where there's a difference between not caring and celebration. Yeah. And the idea of actually celebrating something like that is just bizarre to me.
Yeah, and it was really widespread. I mean, there's some people who on the left, you know, again, who are going to say, well, I didn't like him, I didn't like his ideas, but I'm sad that he was shot, or I was upset. And while it's kind, you know, I don't know that you need to throw that in 2 days after the guy's dead about how you didn't like his ideas. I don't know if that's a necessary addendum to your story. But at least I can kind of understand that. There's been people on the left who have died who I've, you know, not been a fan of their politics. You still mourn.
Yeah.
But it doesn't maybe hit you the exact same way. I think with Charlie, a lot of people had real personal relationships with him. And even the people who just constantly watched his videos on TikTok, a lot of them came to the conservative movement because of his bravery to go into that type of scenario and mix it up with rando college students. And
right.
I think it made it a lot more personal for people.
I think he had an authenticity to him, and that's what he wasn't somebody who was making it up as he went along. He actually knew what he was talking about. He was able to quote scripture. He believed in what he said. That's what I really admired about him. And to be honest, I learned more about him after he passed. Mm. I had met him once, but really I'd been even offered to do a Turning Point thing, but I didn't even know until it was in my inbox after he passed, because I was sending them a message and I'm like, oh, I wish I would have saw this.
Oh, really?
At some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems that people actually looked at him more as a moderate, at least in the sense that he would talk to everybody, and he didn't.
Totally, he was moderate.
Yeah,
which is interesting. Yeah,
and he didn't shame people as much as they want people to believe that he was racist and bigoted and shamed. And then you watch everything and you look at everything they say in the appropriate context. And I think it's tragic that that's the person who we kill, but we tend to kill the peaceful ones, don't we?
Yeah, it does seem to be the way, which is a great sign for our society.
Isn't it? I mean, even the second Malcolm X was like, you know what, I think we all should just love each other. They were like, you got to get him.
Yeah.
You know,
it was totally fine when he was messing everything up and he was very angry and causing riots. That was totally fine.
Totally okay.
Yeah.
But then when he came back and was like, listen, I realize I've been off on this. I think we all should just get along. They're like, okay, no.
Yeah, no.
We really do, we sadly lose very, very peaceful people.
Yeah, that's true. Let me move on to some news that's a little bit more, I don't know, non-depressing.
Yes.
Donald Trump has announced a new website, Trump RX, which is going to give discounted drugs and deal with Pfizer to lower prices. This is interesting to me for a bunch of different reasons. First of all, as a conservative, I don't really like the idea of the government being involved in these things, but there are, you know, real concerns with drug prices on certain things.
Yeah.
The other thing I find fascinating about it is, like, a big chunk of Donald Trump's base, like, thinks Pfizer is the Nazi regime. Like,
yes.
Literally hates this company more than anything else. And what I find fascinating about it is Trump can just do this stuff. He's the only guy I've ever seen that can just do this stuff. He can, like, embrace a company that his base hates. Mm-hmm. And somehow just go right down the middle and do it unscathed. How does he do it?
I think there's a business element to it and a marketing element to it. And I know Pfizer wants to obviously clear their name, as I'm sure does J&J and Moderna. You know, they did this whole thing.
It's an old story.
It's an old story that we're still suffering. And when you see people in masks who are still living with the PTSD of their choices. So I think you have to have somebody where you do trust it. Like, I have a good RX card. I hope it's like that. Because even with insurance, you're like, I also have this, so you don't charge me way, way too much money.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem, is they're jacking up prices to everything. And that's kind of when I think the government does have to regulate something and say, like, look, you can't monopolize the medical industry that people need. I don't know. I think it's, I don't like them though.
Yeah. it's funny because I think we're in that sort of MAHA world right now where I think a lot of people are trying to find some other answer than, you know, medications. But medications are still really important to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I get nervous when we talk about anything the government gets involved in. Like, this, you know, it strikes me as it's a public-private partnership. That's seemingly true. We had that talk about Obamacare back in the day when public option was the big talking point.
Yeah.
We're like, you can just choose to do business with the government. This is a little bit different. It seems basically like a Trump-branded direct purchase from Pfizer website, which isn't quite to the level that gets me totally freaked out about government involvement. But it is a, you know, it doesn't feel like the lines are the same anymore. Like, it feels like if there was an Obama RX, I think our side would have freaked out about it.
Right? Yes.
Not the same with Trump.
No, I don't know why. I think it's...
Do we just trust him? Or just?
I think it's more trusting, yeah, because you're not looking at this angle where you're trying to assume they're going for, like, a communist or socialized medicine thing.
Right.
But I also, do we care about the socialized medicine thing? Because the argument is, well, in Canada, they take 50% of your money for taxes, and it's like, well, we're there now.
Yeah, we're good.
So can I get free medicine?
Yeah.
At this point, like, I'll take a crappy clinic for free. And not that I agree. I do believe in healthcare, though, for all.
Okay.
I just wish there was a way to do it that made any sense. So anything that goes towards that would be nice, but there's only like a utopia answer for that.
Yeah, I think everybody wants people to have healthcare. It's really the government involvement angle that is, you know, controversial to, you know, an economic conservative, at least.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like, I think Trump's trying to walk that line, right? He's trying to, I do think his intent here is just to help people.
Yes.
But I find that to be interesting, especially considering the new news that he's not really the president. A lot of people are unaware of this, but the QAnon shaman would like to challenge the validity of Trump's presidency.
Oh, I see. Didn't he pardon him?
I think he did.
Well, then he's got to go back to jail because he can't accept the presidential pardon.
That's true. Because, I mean, he could pardon himself, but he could not accept Trump's presidential pardon because that's an invalid presidency.
Yeah.
Now, this guy, he's been on, I feel like, was it Alex Stein's show somewhere here?
Yeah, he was on Alex's show.
He was.
Yeah, I didn't know because he wasn't dressed like a yak, but he came in his street clothes. He came in his street horns.
I feel like for him, that should just be the uniform. Like, he shouldn't come in a jeans and a t-shirt.
No, like, if you're going to be that guy, let's show up as that guy.
Own
That's
it.
How we know you.
Yes.
You don't, yeah, Carrot Top doesn't walk on stage with black hair. Right. We're there for a reason.
Right, exactly. But he does apparently actually believe this.
Does he? Sorry.
I think he does. I don't know. I didn't watch the interview. I didn't see it with Alex. But,
oh, I've never watched his show. Go on.
but I do
Alex.
Think... No, Alex, great. I do think, like, it seems to be a guy. I'm not a doctor. You know, I go to Trump RX, but I'm not a doctor.
Well, you're close.
Yeah, I'm very close.
You have a gold card.
But he does seem to have some issues processing the world and the reality that we share. You know, he might see a different vision of that.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting that he wasn't one of the 276 FBI agents that were at the
yes.
Capitol,
yeah.
which is fascinating
yeah.
to know. So pretty much they just arrested everybody who wasn't an FBI agent,
yeah.
it turns out to be,
great.
Which is staggering.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if I were him and I was pardoned and I believe so, if I believed so much in President Trump to go to J6 dress like that and
yes.
go into the Capitol, I would assume that I wouldn't then question the validity of his presidency. I feel like, I don't know, it's a sort of a yin and yang that doesn't really work together, though.
Well, and we should point out, I don't know if I mentioned this, but he basically is saying he's the guy, like he's the president.
Oh, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, it's not just that Trump isn't, but that he is. And that's my understanding of his argument.
He should know he isn't.
Yeah, really? He really? Are you sure? Are you sure? He says, they say it's more akin to a manifesto than a formal legal document, which is shocking.
Oh, that's
news.
Good, yeah.
Shocking news.
Any manifesto is a good read.
Yes, but he says Trump's co-defendants in this lawsuit include the Federal Reserve,
okay,
the NSA, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, the State of Israel gets thrown in there, as they usually do.
Okay.
Elon Musk's ex-corp, T-Mobile. Like, it feels like, should he go after Verizon? Like, you're going after T-Mobile?
I was
going
to say, is he just suing Jews?
Yeah, it does seem
that's
like.
That's what it seems. It just seems them. Very, very anti-Semitic.
I will also say, if you're going to sue the president of the United States and all these big agencies, like, don't go also after Cricket Mobile. Like, I feel like you go toward the... It just seems like a strange
Cricket's
choice.
Cricket's the real problem.
Yeah, Cricket Mobile.
Big Cricket.
And then while we're talking about government gone crazy, the NHS, this is the health services over in Britain.
Yeah.
They released a report saying that, you know, actually, on second thought, marrying your first cousin may be kind of a good idea.
Yes, that's what I've heard. Good news for me.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for years.
Yeah. This has been a big part of your platform.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't about marrying per se, but I'm just glad we're going closer to what I wanted. Just as long as Thanksgiving's no longer weird.
Because I think now it's not. Unfortunately for you, Dave, they are now removing the controversial report. On the benefits of first cousin marriage after a fierce public backlash in the UK. And while, like, we can all laugh about you marrying your cousin, it's an interesting choice.
It is. It's especially if you want to have good kids.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want my kids to be bred like pit bulls.
Right. Yeah, I feel like they're doing a lot of pull-ups. I don't know why. It does feel that way.
Inbred and crazy.
Yes. This is a... it's part of a much larger thing. Like, it's very closely related to something like the gender issue, right? Where we went from a place where everyone knew what a boy and a girl was, then suddenly we shifted, and all of a sudden no one knew, and you could change it with a series of magic words whenever you wanted.
Yes.
And now, again, this is a fundamental thing we all understood. You don't marry your first cousin.
Yeah,
that's usually bad.
Unless you're Jerry Lee Lewis she's 13,
yeah,
but that's fine.
That's always been.
Wonderful musician.
Yes, exactly.
As long as you were a musician in the 50s and 60s, it was totally fine.
Incredible
legal
career.
Age of consent for them was 12.
Yeah, 12, yeah. 13, you know, you'd think that you're going to be obviously mature enough at that point.
Yeah, obviously.
They are at least reversing this, but this is a constant attack at the foundations of of what we all understand. Like, why can't we just accept the things that are easy? You don't marry your first cousin. Boy's a boy, a girl's a girl. These are basic things that we should just be able to understand.
And there were words for it if you dressed up like a woman and it was fine. Mm-hmm. And we just left well enough alone. We were like, whatever, they're who they are.
Hey, but look at that.
It wasn't a movement.
Yeah, it wasn't a movement. It wasn't, they didn't have a big lobbying firm.
No.
And it wasn't, I mean, maybe it was, I don't know. But it wasn't targeting kids. It was like adults doing weird stuff. And like that, as you know, I've read your book.
Yes.
It's very, very commonplace in this country.
It certainly is. Well, and that's the thing is like I think if you wait until you're an adult to do whatever weird thing you want, that's fine. We see the robots that are coming out. Things are going to get very strange.
Real weird, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one thing. But I think also with the marrying your first cousin, I mean, I understand the royal family would consider that a distant relative.
Yeah. Yes.
But so it's not exactly strange to their culture. But there are other cultures.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've seen the old paintings of the royal family. Mm. It's just people with, like, flat heads. And you're like, why would you at all think these people are superior to you?
Right.
Well,
if you could balance a coffee cup on your head, you'd also...
That's true. You could play ping pong.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. But there's also other religions, I think, that are involved where they want to keep it kind of in-house, and that's why a lot of this is
being pushed. I like that language. Keep
it trying
in-house.
To say it as possible.
So what's the Dave Landau line? What number cousin can you marry? Second cousin, third cousin?
I think you got to go fourth.
Fourth, okay.
Fourth, and make sure, you know, I don't think any relation, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer you go, hey, we have the same great aunt. Then don't have sex with each other.
Wow. We have a policy statement.
Like, if you're at a family reunion, don't hit on people.
Right.
I think that's the best advice I can give to
anybody. That's
great.
Just take that day off. Do other things.
Yeah, maybe if you're into it, you're like, I shouldn't go because I know me.
Yeah.
And I'm really big into the cousins. And no cousin wants you doing that.
No.
Nobody's like, my cousin. I had one cousin who thought my one cousin was hot because they were removed by like three parts.
Okay.
And we sat her down and we were like, you need to stop.
Mm.
And this was when we were young. Like, she was like seven.
Okay.
We were still like, this isn't okay.
You had a conversation with a seven-year-old about another cousin.
I was like 12 or 11, but my other cousin came and got me and was like, she likes him. And I'm like, well, let's go talk to her about why that's bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I am glad that conversation didn't happen like last week.
We were children and I knew that was wrong.
Yes.
I didn't even know what sex was. And I was like, all I know is you shouldn't marry your cousin.
That's like the bottom line. Yeah. It really is. It's a little safety tip from Dave Landau to you. We have more with Dave here coming up in just a second. Hold on.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Tilly Norwood, the actress, is in the news. She is in the news largely because she's not a person. SAG-AFTRA, this is the union, is weighing in on AI Firestorm. To be clear, Tilly Norwood is not an actor. Now, you'd think, is it because she's an actress? No, we've terminated that term completely.
Correct.
It's that she's AI. And so they're actually shopping around a reel of her acting in theoretical movies, I guess.
Yes.
Even though she's not real, but it's pretty convincing AI, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not like a lot of the stuff you see, the slop that's on Twitter. This is like, looks really pretty good, and she seems like she might actually be a good actress, and people are maybe trying to think, hey, we should put her in our movie. The unions are going crazy on this. What's your vibe on this? Because you're in the middle of entertainment. There's going to be AI comedians.
I'm in SAG.
You're in SAG.
Yeah.
My wife was as well.
Yeah, I absolutely think it's terrible. Mm. I'm on the SAG side of that, and also they're trying to get her an agent, where it's like, who? Who do you pay? The fake person? The person that created her?
Mm.
And now if there's money to be made there, there's definitely going to be lobbying in both ways. But I don't want to watch anything that's not... I mean, it's not like even a voice. It's not even a cartoon. It's just a fake thing yeah. that they're putting in movie. I think it's a horrible idea.
Yeah. Is it? So the pushback on that is, you know, we're like this all the time with technology, right? We are always, every technological revolution, everybody says this is going to be terrible for everybody, and we somehow make it through it, and a lot of times we see...
We haven't, though.
What, we haven't?
Look at the internet. Oh, we've ruined everything. Everything that we've invented with technology has done nothing but destroy it.
So you're like the guy, you're like M. Night Shyamalan's The Village. You want to go back to a field, you're living...
not that far back,
not that far
but
back.
It will go 90s.
Okay, 90s is the time. So we can have Nintendo,
yeah.
We just can't have AI.
Yeah, you can have a cell phone if you're rich, but the 911 calls may be free.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
That's I think that's acceptable.
Is there a specific year in the 90s you think we should have cut off all development?
Probably about 95.
95.
After that, you know, they started shooting a lot of rappers I liked.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that they weren't doing it before, but I mean, really, it's just...
Because rapping was such a safe business.
That's why.
For so many years.
It really was always just something that you could go to for some wholesome entertainment.
Yeah, there's people doing, like, Rapper's Delight. They were fine. They never got shot. Oh,
that's hilarious.
Yes.
When you even look at that, like, hip-hop, hip. Yeah, yeah, and you're like,
it.
This is not...
It was so wholesome, though.
Yeah.
And it was like they were talking literally in that song about what happens when you go to someone's dinner and you don't really like the dinner.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, not really into the dinner. What do? Do you apologize? How can you be polite in that situation?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's one of the themes of the rap.
Right. No, like, I like DMC. I know DMC from Run DMC.
Okay.
I've never met Run, but when you listen to that, it's kind of like wholesome, fun music.
Yeah.
And then eventually it did, yeah, become, you know, shoot them up and F the police. But still, they had a good beat to them.
All right. Mid-90s, we'll cut off all development.
All development after that.
Because, I do see some of the stuff that AI does, and some of it's incredible, like legitimately impressive. I mean, we talked a little bit off the air about some of the music. You can go to these sites now and just create little jingles, 10-second jingles that, you know, and again, this is always replacing somebody's job, but like you'd have to pay, so, you know, a studio that's going to record music, custom music for you and all these other things. And now you're on there just like typing away and it's done in 10 seconds. Like, there's going to be a lot of downsides from that.
Yeah.
But like, is it, you really think it's something that we could stop? It's like, we're not going to, like, when this gets incredible, and of course, porn will probably lead this, but like...
That's what I'm saying. It all goes to that.
Yeah.
My friend was just at a festival. This is bad, but he was just at a festival in not Argentina.
Mm.
Not where the Nazis hit.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
Albania.
Good old Albania. Who doesn't go to an Albanian festival?
Exactly. So my friend Yoshi is sending me videos of the dolls that they're now creating.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He's like, this is the downfall of man.
Mm.
And it is. Like, why would you give a sex bot a personality? I don't want... There's no reason why you would want... Like, what, you want it to get to know you?
No.
Like, you're not going to give one of your teenager socks a personality. It's not... I mean, it's just like... It's absurd. Like, why would you want this thing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get to know my horrible thoughts. I already know them.
Right. Although people go deep into this. Like,
they're friends.
Just the chats.
If you bring a sex bot over like it's your girlfriend, we're just not talking anymore.
Really?
If you're like, this is Vanessa, and I'll be like, I know what you do to that thing. I don't want, like, it only serves two purposes.
But...
Well, three.
But that's
too far.
Yeah, probably. When we... My thing with this, though, is it's like, we've been doing a talk show for a million years, and the general tone of the audience is largely the same. Like, they don't like the government.
Yeah.
They didn't like the government in, you know, 2004 when we were doing the show. They don't really like it now. I mean, they understand the Constitution. They understand that. But, like, what they would like is to not have their personal lives invaded by the government. And so I remember back in, you know, 2002 or whatever it was, we would get calls about people saying, can you believe they're putting these things in your car that you just go through these easy pass lanes and they now can track, you know, because every time you go through one of those tolls, they know where you are.
Yeah.
And it went from that to then, like, obviously to cell phones where they're tracking you with GPS. And, you know, and then there was Google. And like, I'm not going to use Google. Like, how many calls we took? I'm not going to use Google. Google wound up being pretty successful, and I think
yes.
The truth is people were just using it because it works really well. It does make your life easier in some way, and it seems to me that there's a lot of opposition to this stuff, but at some point it just becomes normal and real, and I don't mean the sex bot stuff, hopefully, but like using AI, watching AI videos, watching AI in commercials or whatever, and people are just like, You know, it just works. It's so much easier. Why bother?
I'm sure there would be a normalcy to it if it didn't take away from jobs of so many Americans. And I don't mean actors. I don't mean just that in particular. I mean, we can do without a lot of them. We've seen their opinions.
Yeah.
But, or heard them.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it, too, is it takes away from people's actual ability to make a living. I mean, not everything. Look at Amazon. It's smirking at you because it knows. The box smirks.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Because it knows it's going to control everything. And I don't want drones dropping off packages, and that's the only way I can get something.
Because however, when they do drop it off, you'll be like, wow, that was cool.
And it's
it was
impressive.
Fast. Yeah.
It'd be fun to shoot it down. But I just don't like the idea of I think we're taking away the human element from so many things.
It's true.
And it's important. And I think that the reason why even joking about the sex bot is like that's the most private human element you can have with somebody you actually love. It shouldn't come in a crate that you're ashamed to like for your neighbors to see you wheeling into your house. Like, oh, what do you got there? A new sink? Yeah, yeah. It's a sink.
Is there an argument though? On porn specifically,
yeah,
that AI might be good for that one industry, and the reason I'm saying that is
because
at least actual people don't have to be involved and victimized by. Because I mean, some of the people are doing it by choice. A lot of them aren't. There's obviously a lot of dark parts of that. If they're all computer generated, is that any better?
I think it's better. I mean, I think
maybe?
it's better than trafficking for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're doing it of your own volition. I don't know why, but, you know, that's you. It's your business. But, I mean, if you're doing it, yeah, I think it will help. I think it's good for one industry. Yeah, one industry it'd be all right for. But I'm sure we will get used to it. I mean, we can't fight what gets handed to us with technology, no matter how bad we want to. And we've become Big Brother.
It's why, too, you have to have bigger, better foundations, right? Like, it's what Charlie Kirk was talking about, bringing back to the beginning of the conversation. I'm sure you'd be really happy about this the sex bot time. To what I'm saying.
But, I'd love his opinion, to be honest. Yeah. He'd probably be like, you're right.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, like, it's having a better connection to not do those things, not because, you know, they're easy, but because you have a moral stance on them usually gets you down the right road. Before you go,
much morality though.
That's
the problem is the morality fades as the technology grows.
Yes,
and that's
true.
What I don't like.
That's very, very true. Last one for you here. Again, you released a book, not written by AI. It is not an AI computer. It's a normal
all, not
book.
One
you
word
hold
of
it in
it.
Your hand.
It's all me.
It's all Dave. And this is a situation I could almost see coming out of your book. This is from Lubbock, Texas. A police officer's on horseback. Were joking around. They were making a joke saying, we're going to get, these are our new, not drug-sniffing dogs, but drug-sniffing horses.
Okay.
Now, they're joking about this.
They love ketamine.
They love, apparently.
It's a horse tranquilizer.
It is.
Probably their fave.
It is. When they said this, the guy they were talking to just started sprinting the opposite direction, which might be a bit of a giveaway, Dave. This does seem like something you would do. And I will say, not a good decision to try to sprint away from a horse. That doesn't work out that well.
No, the dog's bad enough, but a horse is definitely going to track you down.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I love it. I love that, like, this is just do they even need a confession after this?
No.
Do they need to have a trial? Like, here's what happened. We said drug sniffing horses. He just sprinted the opposite direction. Of course, when they did catch him, you'll be shocked to hear he had a lot of drugs on him.
Oh, stunning. Maybe he was just afraid of horses. I mean, how do you know? I mean, really, you've never heard of a drug smelling horse. I would use that. I'd be like, why would I know that a horse would smell drugs?
Mm. Well, I think he said it. I think they were joking about it. I mean, the guy overheard it. So when he overheard it, he realized, holy crap, the horses are going to smell my drugs. He just ran. It is such
I feel like I would do that. Yes,
that's 100%. It was like one of the chapters you left out. It hit the cutting room floor because it wasn't quite interesting enough to get into the book.
I've been stopped by horse cops, but at the time,
right
up at Michigan State. But at the time, they weren't drug sniffing.
That's good.
If they were, I'm surprised, but because they didn't stop me.
They're good. Good.
The horse seemed to like me
a little too much.
Yeah.
Eventually. So let me give you one more piece of information here on, as to where Dave's going to be, because he's going to be all over the place this weekend. Boca Raton this weekend. This is Friday and Saturday night.
Yes.
At the Sad Man Comedy Club, and then at Zany's in Nashville on Sunday. You get tickets at DaveLandau.com, and of course get his book and watch the show Normal World. Dave, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Share the Arrows is an event with Ali Beth Stuckey, our own Blaze TV's Ali Beth Stuckey. I think maybe she meant the name metaphorically at the beginning. You know, you have spiritual arrows that are coming at you, and you need to gather together and share these attacks together. Lately, it's felt a little more literal. I don't know if anyone's noticed this, but either way, it's incredibly important to gather together. This is an event for women who really just want to, you know, get into a spiritual mindset and look toward the future with, you know, some sort of optimism, I think, and collective strength. It's October 11th right here in Dallas, Texas. Share the Arrows is the event. ShareTheArrows.com is where you can get tickets. There's VIP options still available as well. ShareTheArrows.com.